I love my children. But I ended up going to seminary down in Texas. And when I was down there, I came to find out that I was doing things and saying things that pretty good evidence I was not from that area. And so, one day, I was thinking with some of my classmates, of course, we're saying some of our community. And as is typical for life up here in the Northeast, it can be very straightforward, very blunt sometimes, some people would say. That's what in my opinion, pretty straightforwardly. And someone told me that the Yankees, and I thought, man, you're a Yankees. They're saying they're from the North, particularly the Northeast. And I was kind of thinking about that, like, what's that about? And they're like, oh, yeah, you need to think about your talking. They don't really come home with this stuff, you know? To do that way to travel across the country, into the different subcultures of our country, maybe you travel to the South, Florida, Texas, somewhere down in that neck of the woods. Maybe you've traveled to the west, maybe you've gone over to California, the Northwest. In this very big country, we have different subcultures. And if you're there for more than one day, you will start to notice some things from that area that maybe you just do life a little different than we do around here in this little swath of America. They may run slower. They may say phrases differently. They may be into different things than we are up here. And you'll be like, oh, by the way, we're in a different part of the country. I want you to imagine, let's say you're over in Brazil restaurant, or Brazil dining room, here in Brazil, and someone says, oh, I want a pop. build it. Some of the kingdom of heaven, what the kingdom would be like, and how you could recognize it, was a huge part of Jesus' teaching. That was a big theme of his teaching. The word kingdom is used over 100 times in the Bible. I'm going to do a little bit of translation using, and 55 times, give or take a little bit, in the book of Matthew alone. So we talk about this a lot, particularly in the book of Matthew. So why was this a focus? Why was this a focus of his? Preaching and teaching about kingdom, kingdom of heaven, and kingdom-minded people, and kingdom building. But you kind of think of kingdom building as an earthly kingdom. So if someone came up to me and said, hey, you want to start building kingdom? I'd be like,
Thank you.
followers come in front of you on the queue. It's also your phone. It'll also be up on the screen. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 and 45. Now, before you read these parables, you need to understand that the kingdom is not one specific thing in the parable. The kingdom is not one specific thing in the parable, but the whole movement of the parable. And so the whole parable has painted a picture of what the kingdom of heaven is like. So keep that in mind. We're going to read the two parables, so we can kind of know what we're looking at. Let me start breaking it down a little bit. Okay, so let me put that up on the screen. Matthew chapter 13, 44 and 45 in the NIV, really in the different translations. Might be a little different, but pretty much the same. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When the man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." That's the first one. Second one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought. So these two things here, as you can see, are pretty similar. These are kind of parallel parables as far as the same general message that is coming to get across. We so far have identified a few things in the parables. Okay. One of the common things in these parables is something hidden needs to be discovered. A thing that which is hidden in both the parables is Jesus. In his totality, discovering who Jesus truly is, what he has done for that person, and everything that who he is. So you discover who Jesus truly is. The people in the parable are just normal, average, everyday people. Working away, not there, not yet part of the kingdom initially. And there is a common thought. This idea of I'm going to gain something for this thing greater than me, for Jesus. So you see here that both of these parables, the overall message of this parable, I'm going to go to the next slide, is the message of those who belong to the kingdom of God is that they have exchanged what they once thought was valuable with greater value found in Christ. Okay? So the message of those who belong to the kingdom, this instantly identifiable mark, the thing you say, oh, you're part of the kingdom, is that they have what they once thought was valuable with the greater value found in Christ. In these two parables, there is a slight difference between the two parables. The slight difference is how the two people came to discover this person, Jesus, or this thing in the parables, is this great value, very great value. The first difference is in the first story, the story of the treasure, the parable of treasure, the person stumbles upon it. And so he stumbles upon this great treasure. And so every story is telling us the spiritual truth that someone in life who's going to come to the kingdom of heaven just finds his living in life. This is kind of all life. And so in suddenly, they discover Jesus. And so, in today's modern-day context, if for someone who came home after a long day's work, just scrolling through their phone, looking at videos, looking at posts, and then all of a sudden they're scrolling, and they get to a video or post, but it is about them. Maybe it's someone talking, a pastor or a preacher or a Christian, after someone talking about Jesus. They were talking about Jesus and they watched him. They're like, oh, this is exactly talking to me. And they come to discover through this post, this video on social media, I need to give my life to Jesus. This is an example of maybe a friend who was invited to church one morning, or a friend who was invited to a Christian concert, a friend invited to some sort of Christian speaking engagement. But you may just get invited along, I don't know who God is, but they're going to invite them to hear the song, and they're going 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 to hear the song, and they
that's your story. That's your story. Maybe you were someone who was invited to a Christian event one day. Maybe you were in a car driving along. You were kind of running your business and a Christian song came on the radio. Maybe your story is you were just going along the way and God found you. You had no intention of giving your life to Christ that day or moving towards God, but it happened. And that's your story. The second example, the difference in this one is that this merchant was eagerly searching. He knew there was something out there that was for him. And this is a person in life outside the kingdom of heaven that they know there's something deeper in life. They know there's truth. They don't just float out there. Right? They are someone who's intentional and is like, even though from a very young age, they were like, hey, I know that there's something out there. And they start to read and engage with different religions. They start to listen to podcasts. They start watching YouTube videos about philosophy, about who are these different religious teachers, what is this Christian thing. Maybe they dig into the Bible a little bit. They try to, maybe ask them a lot of questions. They are searching. They know there's something out there. You can even challenge the Bible. And that is part of my story. So my story is that even from a young age, early teens, I kind of knew that there was something out there that was deeper in life. And it was searching. The internet has just come into people's minds. For any generation, we have these things called computer rooms. You know, you have to be dedicated a whole room to a computer. You can look at it. I don't really care about that. Here's one of the interesting things of American time period, but I guess you have computer rooms dedicated to a computer. And a lot of information is coming out, right? You can get access to a lot of information. It's really doing into it. And I was actually challenging my youth pastor. I went to the youth pastor in Butterfield. And I was challenging the youth pastor for about a good year or two, trying to dig through the Bible. I was trying to find contradictions, pointing out the contradictions to him and researching. I spent a good year and a half, 2 years trying to dig through the Bible because I knew if I was going to. I'm going to put down something that I was going to say, no, this is what I'm believing in. I'm not just going to go along with it. I need to know this is actually true. And it was good for me when I was on a mission trip. I used my youth group one summer. And I was in the middle of a worship service. I was singing a worship song. And here's a rhythm set to me. And I realized in that moment that he actually is true. I was true, this is all true. And it clicked for me in that moment. I broke down crying. I realized that when you need Jesus, you can never really be saved. And so I just did it. But that night, I realized the Bible is true. Maybe this is your story. Maybe your story is, yes, I was someone who's searching for truth. I was searching for meaning, and I was intentional about doing it. And then one day, it clicked for you, identify immediately that someone is a part of the kingdom of heaven. They have this story. And this story thousands of people saw, it's the first thing that happens. And you hear that when you follow the miracle, and you give your life to Christ, the one that holds the most value for your life. This is about that moment. But then, what happens after life? What happens after this in your life? And you have this new conversion story, and you give your life to Christ. But this is where we're going to get into, and you keep moving on, right? Years and years go by, and you're living your life. How does this actually work out? with your kids and how you're using your time with your own and all of your activities to show the love of Christ to your children. And to remind yourself that Jesus is the one who blessed you with these children and these kids, and that He is number one in your life and the greatest value in your life. For those who are young adults and midlife single, okay, so you know you're past college, midlife, and you're single. Freedom of time can be something for folks to grasp on our heart. And you say, well, I have a lot of time, I have a lot of money, I don't have a lot of bills, as you know, and married kids are still married to a kid, but it's just you. And so, you know, what can I do with all the time that I have? And then freedom of choice, and even sometimes the temptations of the world can start to contract and find your heart. And so how in your life can you make moves to bring Christ as number one? For those of you in college, or soon to be in college, I think one of the biggest struggles in college age is to think your college degree is the greatest thing of value of your relationship with Christ. You think that a good education and a piece of paper with a diploma on it is what is going to bring you value in life. These are the things that start coming in our hearts. And it is important, but that is not the thing that is most valuable. Having a relationship with Jesus and cherishing Him above all else is the thing that's worth value. And so what do you have to do in your life, in that stage of life, to move Christ to number one? And lastly, whom? I love this verse, so. This is what I'm going to do. Who do you guys see that tends to be temptation to move Christ down the totem pole? First thing I see, tend to see, is the emphasis of team and love. Right? When you're a teen, middle school, particularly in high school, dating, you're going to marry, these are some things that tend to be on teens' minds a lot. And thinking that human love is going to be able to satisfy you above Jesus' love. Thinking that marriage is the thing that's going to solve problems. Marriage is the thing that's going to bring ultimate happiness. Instead of Jesus, it is the thing that starts to take ultimate value. And so, as teens, we have to work hard at keeping Christ number one in that aspect. And the second aspect of teens is trying to find their value in peer approval, essentially, you know, being approved by other people. These are two things that teens in your life stage of life that you want to work on and be able to point down in your life. How for you and your relationship with God, in all of these different stages of life, can you keep Christ as number one value? Because you remember, when you first came to Christ, He was number one. And so this morning, I want to remind you. And the Holy Spirit wants to impress upon your heart that He is of great value and He does deserve your full submission and your full surrender in your life to Him and the kingdom. And so you may make some moves coming up in the next week, month, year or two. And you're going to be your own son, you're a woman in this. You're going to have I mean, you know, some folks will kind of look around, I can't, you know, it looks like everyone's kind of living the same life, like, what's going on, you're trying to live your life, you know, you can go out on the phone and they're like, hey, how many, you see the team, like, what, is anyone doing anything, like, what, is anyone, what's the team happening? I want to encourage you that Jesus talked about this. The kingdom is not visible. You're not going to be able to observe a room at church, you're not going to observe, you know, Christians together anywhere, just on the surface, and say, oh, this is the kingdom. Jesus talks about this in two, or one place, he's been called to talk about another. In Luke chapter 17,
Pharisees on the kingdom of God will come. Jesus replied, the kingdom of the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. So Jesus says, you're not going to be able to observe it, but it's also happening to be perfect. There are these amazing stories that are here in this room about people who have given their life to Christ, about people making these small changes, these small tweaks and trajectories to their life. You're not going to be able to really tell it. So I look around the room and just kind of a very quick glance at people's lives. This change is happening. If you say, it's normal, it's happening. It's like that it's happening. And Paul talks about that again in Romans 14 and 17. But he says, it's right. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says it's this invisible thing happening. But Paul has his own story and shared his story with us. And this is the importance of our faith story and sharing with other people. This is the importance of small groups. Is the importance of being in community and sharing our story. You're not going to be able to tell what's going on in people's lives. It's kind of coming down. We're on the outside. You're not going to be able to tell what's happening in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, here on earth, if you never engage with what's going on beneath the surface. And you do that through sharing your story. Paul shares his story in Philippians. Chapter 2, where he says, verse 7 and 8, he says, but whatever were gained to me, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. I'm sorry, but the understanding had a lot of gain. He was an honor student, he was a head of his class as a Pharisee, he was a leader among the religious leaders of the time. He was on the front lines of persecuting those people who were apparently teaching the wrong thing about Jesus. He had a life. You can talk about that. He lived a very nice, comfortable life. And he's sharing his story. He's saying, hey, you may just see me pass in the door, and you may not know what happened in my life. But he shares it. He says, whatever gains to me, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. For what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ. For those of us who have placed our faith in Christ, this is the example of all the worldly things we have, all the possessions, all the accomplishments we have, all the good and understanding, that in compared to knowing Christ, our garbage, wrongly, with the weaker trust, in comparing them to knowing your Creator, knowing your Savior, and having a living, thriving relationship with Him, knowing that He knows you and died for you on the cross, and knowing that through dying and forgiving your sins on the cross, He showed His love to you, that even though you deserve death and eternal punishment, He gives the gift of eternal life through Jesus, that you would accept the gift of eternal salvation and know the living Lord, not only in this life, but for eternity. Everything. And maybe you're someone who still needs to discover who Jesus truly is. Maybe you've heard stories of Jesus, that you know about Jesus, but you don't know who He truly is. Maybe today starts your journey to do your own research. And I encourage you to start doing research. Do as much research as you can. The more you dig, and the longer you dig into it, you will find Jesus. He is the truth.
however you want. Eventually, you will find him, as you follow him with the Spirit searching for truth. Years ago, you realized the pearls you thought were valuable are nothing compared to knowing God. Every day, you decide, I need to make this decision. My life is open. I want to exchange that which what I thought was valuable with the most valuable thing, which is Jesus. Be some time in the future, God will bring someone into your life, or something into your life, and it will open up your eyes to see Jesus. However it happens, and whenever it happens. However it happens, I want to come to find Jesus. I remember when I was out at the youth group, I met an old Marine in the middle of a good welcome room. He must have been in the late 60s or 70s. And he was chit-chatting pretty quickly, good and not all good will. And I was like, oh, well, I'm the pastor, I'm here at the youth group, helping out. And the guy started running up a big burning man, a tattoo, Marines of the Bible. He said, I found Jesus. I didn't find him until I was 55. So I'm glad I found him. And I said, I'm glad you found him. Even though it's later in life, I'm glad you found him. And I hope you find him if you haven't already someday. Because he will change your life and you